Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, I worship you and I praise you and I thank you for this beautiful, magnificent, glorious day, because you are the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. And Lord, I want to thank you for this magnificent host of angels, these ministering spirits that you sent forth to minister to us and for us. And Lord, I ask you to reveal to us, as we read and study your word today about angels, that we may learn more about these magnificent, majestic, glorious beings that you have sent for us, and to watch over us, and to protect us, and to help us. So, Father, I praise you and worship you and thank you now. As the word goes out, reveal it to everyone in Jesus' name. Amen. Now then, today we're still talking about this magnificent covenant that we got here yesterday. I was just reading here in Hebrews 9, verse 10. It says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins, and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." In that he says, a new covenant he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Then indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and the earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the Holy of All. Now, this covenant that we have here is a mighty covenant, and you need to really look this thing up and check it out to make sure that you've read this covenant in Hebrews 9 and 10, because if you don't know what this covenant is, you need to understand how magnificent this covenant is. Now we'll continue to read on a little further here. Now then, here we are again in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11 says, "But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption." Now then in verse 14 he says, "But how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Now this is part of this covenant we have. This covenant we have is so awesome, until you really begin to understand who you are, you cannot walk in faith. And you cannot receive the help of these angels. But you must know that you are just like Abraham, that you have a covenant. Now, if you don't know what this covenant is, you need to go back to the Word of God, Hebrews 9 and 10, and you need to sit down and read those two chapters very, very carefully. That will show you some great and mighty things. Now, in verse 15, and it says that, "And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant." Now he's talking about Christ there and what he did by the dying on the cross and by shedding his blood. "And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance." Now then, as we go on down, there in verse 22 it says, "For according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission for your sins." So, as you can see there, it was absolutely necessary that Christ die on that cross for you and me, for our eternal redemption. Now, this covenant is a tremendous covenant. I would suggest that you take the time to set down Hebrews 9 and 10 and read those, because they are such an awesome covenant. And it takes too long for me to read it on the radio, but I want you to know that this is absolutely a magnificent promise. And by what our Jesus did, by as he has sanctified us through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all, and every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Now listen in verse 13. This is an absolute awesome statement here in chapter 10 of Hebrews, verse 13. And from that time, the time when Christ defeated the enemy, when he died and arose again, from that time waiting till his enemies were made his footstool. If Christ is waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool, who are his enemies? It's Satan and his demons. Now, he conquered Satan on the cross. He defeated him. He stripped him of all of his power and all of his armament, according to Colossians 2:15. Satan has no power. And then he turned to the church and gave us all power to tread on serpents and scorpions. And Luke 10:19-20. And we have not done it. We have allowed the enemy to continue to run over us. And we don't have to do that. Because he said in verse 14, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their heart and in their minds, and I will write them. Then he has their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. So when you become a born-again Christian, regardless of how wicked you have been, when you come to Christ and ask him to come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior, he saves you, he sets you free, and he forgives all of your past sins, and everything you've done in the past has been washed away by the blood of Jesus. Now then, he says that after he has done all these things, and verse 18, now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. And then listen to what he says here in verse 19 of Hebrews 10. Therefore, brethren, come boldly, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now, I want you to think about this because of this magnificent covenant that we have. You and I, as sons and daughters of the King of the universe, can literally catch ourselves into the Spirit, into the third heaven where we're seated in Christ in the heavenlies to do warfare against our enemy, the devil. Now, we can also catch ourselves up there just to walk into the Holy of Holies and worship and praise the King. And I would suggest anytime you walk into the Holy of Holies, whether you go into the Spirit and catch yourself up there, or you pray from down below, whatever you do, make sure that you worship and praise the King for what he has done for you. But in verse 19 of Hebrews 10, he says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Just think, what a privilege to come boldly into the throne room of God and bring our petitions and ask the Lord to do great and mighty things for us and believe that he's going to do it. But if you'll believe, he will do it for you. Praise the Lord. Now, because of this magnificent covenant in verse 22 of Hebrews 10, he says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, of course, which is the word of God. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope, which is Jesus Christ, without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And he says in verse 24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Now there's a tremendous message right there in that one verse. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Verse 25, he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now here is the place right here where the Lord absolutely requires that we gather in his house. Somewhere, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together on a regular basis. We need to be with believers. We need to be learning God's word. We need to be studying. We need to be understanding who we are and what we can do. Because if you get locked in out there on your own, Satan will have no trouble pulling you out to the side and destroying you. And then here's something else. In Hebrews 10:26, this is a pretty devastating statement in the next few verses here, what the Lord says he will do to his own children if we're disobedient to do what he tells us to do. And verse 26 says, "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin." Now, that's a scary thing. So if you know that something is for sin, whatever you do, don't do it. Because look what will happen if you do. If you sin willfully after you have received the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignations which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will be thought worthy he who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has counted the blood of the new covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.' And again, 'The Lord will judge his people.'" Here it's clear that God is talking about his people. He's not talking about a bunch of lost people. Verse 31, it says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." Now then, some people will say that this magnificent covenant that we just talked about here, we read several of the verses, not all of them, but this is an awesome covenant that we have with God. And many people will say that this covenant was only for the Jews, and it was not for us. But in Galatians 3:13 and 14, the Word of God says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith.'" So there's proof that the covenant was made not only to the Jew, but also to every believer in Christ. I would like to invite you to call me or write me for tapes. Call me at 940-242-2106. Also like to invite you to our church in North Dallas at 10921 Shady Trail every Sunday afternoon from 2 to 4. The Lord is doing such mighty miracles of healing and restoration in our little church. We would love to have you come. Also, we'd like to invite you to our healing school where we teach you about how to be healed. I know many people in the church that have no knowledge of these wonderful things. We have seen the Lord do great and mighty things in that healing school. We've seen people instantly healed of carpal tunnel several times in those healing schools. So come. It's at the same location where we have church at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. Come at 1 p.m. the second Saturday.